Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And welcome to episode 754 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, and I'm joined this week by Pete.
Yo, it's God of War week. I'm hyped. How hype are you?
Yeah, I'm very hyped. But before I get into my hypeness, Danny will not be on this episode this week. He is at an awards event, so good luck to Danny, and we hope he wins. And I know he's doing a presentation as well, isn't he? He's presenting an award or something like that.
When
as well.
The show goes live, yes, the day Thursday, he will be doing a presentation on podcasting. I think it's a panel, so it's a couple of people. So yeah, it's a huge event. It's funny, I wasn't really familiar with how large it was, and then when the wife came up and she's like, "Wow, he's going to be a Hispanicized." I was just like, "Oh, I guess it's a big deal if the wife knows."
Yeah.
So
that's Danny. Danny's everywhere. But yep. But before we get into the show, Danny, since you'll be editing this, let everybody know where they can find us and leave some feedback.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so got to start the show off this way. I want to thank PlayStation because PlayStation was kind enough to send over a review copy of God of War. So I have God of War. It is loaded on my PlayStation 4 Pro. I'm ready to go, but I've decided I'm not going to play it until the stream embargo lifts tomorrow morning. So when people hear this, it'll probably already be live. I've already done it. But on Thursday at 5 a.m. Pacific, the stream embargo lifts, and I'm going to just play God of War on the stream, like for the very first time. So you get to see my playthrough, my initial thoughts, just my screw ups, everything live as I play it on it. But I'm pretty excited about that. And again, like, I want to thank PlayStation for providing that review copy. And just, you know, obviously the big sites got the early reviews and impressions on it, and I've tried to, for the most part, stay away from them. Like, I've not read anything too in depth other than I've just seen that it's been universally praised for its story and everything. So I'm really looking forward to diving into God of War and getting into that story. So what about yourself, Pete? Any thoughts on God of War since you weren't on last week's episode when we talked about it a little more?
Yeah. My first foray into the whole God of War universe was God of War 3. I never played 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So that was my first experience with the whole God of War and Kratos experience. And I was impressed. I actually was like, damn, I missed out on that. I'm not the type to go back to play games from like 10 plus years ago. So I don't ever see myself going and jumping into, you know, PlayStation Now to play God of War 1 and 2. But 3 was impressive enough to make me understand just why it has such a cult following and such a devout, you know, following within the gaming community, whether you're industry or you're consumer / player. That being said, like you just heard in the background, I'm hype. I've already got the preload done, ready to go. And I'm just waiting for Friday to light up. Once that thing goes live, I don't know. I may call in sick. just to play that. But yeah, I'll definitely be checking out your stream tomorrow. Cause actually, I don't know. I don't know if I want to play. I don't know if I want to watch the stream cause I don't know if I want to go and get spoiled on some of the goodness. I guess that's best for people that aren't going to be playing it.
Well, I mean, you're right. And I guess I just put that warning out there. I mean, anyone that tunes in, I'm playing through the story. There's going to be 100% spoilers on that. So I would actually suggest, you know, if you're the type that wants to experience the story for yourself, do not check out my stream, you know, go play through the game first on your own. But like I said, I'm going to do that. And then next time I'm on the show, I can obviously, you know, just give my full impressions of God of War and go through all that. And the reason I'll be able to, stream at 5 a.m. tomorrow is because I don't have a job, which is great. No, I resigned from my job, and my last day was Tuesday. So I am in between jobs for a couple weeks. I'm actually going to travel back to Florida. I'm going to go see my family for a little bit. May even sneak down and see Danny and Pete down there in Miami if I get a chance, and do that thing, and then just come back home for Infinity War with my kids. And then after that, I'll be going back to my next adventure, and I'll talk about that once I actually start my next adventure. But yeah, looking forward to God of War. Really excited to be able to play it. But I also have to transition and say, and this is for the people that are on Twitch, I got this the other day. I got Red Dead Redemption for the Xbox 360 that we talked about the last episode you were on, Pete. Got that copy in the other day. And yeah, I haven't played too in-depth into it yet, but fired it up on the Xbox One. The whole 4K update looks fantastic. Really? It really does. So again, kudos to Albert Pinello and that whole backwards compatibility team, just all the work that they've done to get, you know, an old 360 game working on Xbox One and all the 4K enhancements that come with it. I talked about this a little bit last week, but I also did it with Halo 3 as well. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Looks great. 4K, all that. So very, very excited for that. My plan with Red Dead Redemption is just to kind of slow burn play it just over the summer. You know, it's just kind of a secondary thing I can mm-hmm. play, you know, between some of the other games I got, and just basically just get it finished by October when Red Dead 2 comes out. So that's kind of my plan for that. So excited about it. And again, I'm in a weird way, I'm almost glad I never played it all these years, because it is completely a brand new experience for me now. And you know, I'm really looking forward to jumping into it and enjoying it, because I've heard nothing but universal praise for that game. Now, staying on the whole Xbox wagon for just a second, and this was actually in our Discord channel. One of our Discord members had put a link, 343 put out a new update about the Master Chief Collection and just everything that they're doing with that. They have what's called a flight test, which is ready, which is basically just a point, you know, just basically in development, the update they're doing, a static version of it that they're going to pick some select users to actually begin beta testing it and giving feedback on it. And I noticed they mentioned in the blog post that they had about 13,000 people sign up to want to participate in this, and everyone's not going to get in right away. They're only mm-hmm. going to take a small sample size, but eventually the plan is going to be to get everyone that has indicated they want to participate into this Halo Master Chief Collection update that they're doing. They're updating the UI. Obviously, it's getting the whole Xbox One X 4K enhancement for everything. And I'm hopeful I'll get a chance to check it out at some point over the summer, because they also mentioned that if everything goes well, they don't run into any issues, they expect this to go full retail by the end of the summer, which I kind of want to get into this discussion point with you, Pete, on that. Kind of tells me a couple things. It tells me that, yeah, I'm sure they're going to talk about it at E3, and that'll be one of their selling points at E3. But it also tells me Halo 6 is not coming in 2018. Mm. I'd almost go as far to say we're probably not going to see Halo 6 until holiday 2019, which I'll say this, fine with me. If they're overhauling Halo to the point that they need it 4 years to get it right, take all the time you need. I don't care. Get it right is kind of the main point. And then once I wish my son would stop bouncing that basketball. And and if they get Halo 6 right, if it takes 4 years, do it. But it begs the question, if Halo 6 isn't coming until holiday 2019, this is speculation, I don't know nothing, but if it isn't coming until holiday 2019, then What is Microsoft going to have this holiday? And that's just real talk. This isn't hating or whatever, none of that. This is just real talk. What can Microsoft possibly have this holiday going into spring 2019 to get gamers excited to play games on their platform that isn't some third-party marketing deal? So, again, I know I've talked enough. What do you think?
That's been my major concern. Considering that right now it's going to be Sea of Thieves and Crackdown 3 that are going to be the showcase games for Xbox going into the summer and potentially, you know, fall holiday 2018. If, and again, major if, like I were talking all caps, bold, the whole nine. If there is no major Halo title release, aside from, you know, the 4K enhancement package for Master Chief Collection at the end of the year, is or how can that be enough for Microsoft to be supported as a major gaming console? Like, if your catalog is that sparse that your best releases are going to be enhancement packages to your old Xbox 360 titles, and I'm going to call it here, and I know you kind of said it last week, Sea of Thieves and Crackdown 3, those are kind of like flyover titles. Those are the ones you glance over looking for the good ones, and then you go back to them because you don't find them on the shelves. You know, they're kind of like when you fly to, like, you know, like flyover states, when you fly into New York, but you fly over like Rhode Island. No offense to those from Rhode Island, obviously. But it's definitely concerning because you think Microsoft, you think Xbox, you think Halo, and it's been quite some time. And fine, Halo 5 had its ups and downs. It wasn't, you know, universally lauded like all the other Halo titles. But at least it was a Halo title, right? It was still, even if it was a stopgap, even if it was a Band-Aid till, you know, things got better with regards to 343 doing things. If you don't have your prime time superstar on your platform, why do people want to go over there? Why would, what's the encouragement to bring people on over to the Xbox One X? Cause that's now your prime time. It's not Gears of War. Fine. You're going to probably throw an enhancement package on there, you know, and make everything else pretty and shiny, but you need a new title. Some of these titles are getting tired. And unless you're going to give me a new Master Chief, or even if you're going to go somewhere else, give me Cortana going postal, give me something to look forward to. And this, I don't want us to bleed over into don't give me the teaser for 2 years, because that turns into the Danny argument. And I don't want to go into that. But if this isn't it, God help me if they don't have some big massive announcement at that E3 press briefing, which we all got our invites today for. You know, that was a huge thing. Where is it?
Well,
what is it?
I think they have no choice but to lay out a 2 to 3 year roadmap at this E3, because I find it very hard to believe that they are going to have something revolutionary ready to go in the next 6 to 9 months. As an example, I just don't see it. Crackdown 3 is coming. Like you said already, it could be a great game, but it's not going to be a game that's going to push you to the platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see. It's been delayed so many times. I'm still not convinced it's coming this year, by the way, but we'll see. There'll be a Forza Horizon 4 this year, probably Crackdown 3. Obviously, State of Decay 2 is coming as well. These are nice fill-in titles, but where is my, as an example, where is my God of War? Where is my Spider-Man? Where is my Uncharted? Where is my Last of Us? Where is my Horizon Zero Dawn? Hell, where is my Ratchet and Clank? And when I say Ratchet and Clank, that means Banjo-Kazooie. Damn it, where's Banjo-Kazooie? I've been waiting 10 years for this. But my point on this is, and again, this is just the reality of the situation. And I honestly think we kind of talk about this too much with Xbox, but I kind of just want to drive this point home one final time, that they need something compelling that I can only play on their platform. I literally just off the top of my head listed about 5 or 6 things that are compelling that I can play on PlayStation and only PlayStation. And look, Xbox as a piece of hardware is fantastic. The technology behind it is fantastic. The services that we're getting with the backwards compatibility stuff, fantastic. Gamepad, all of that. There's no complaints on that. We're literally down to, I don't need any kind of sizzle at E3 from them other than to say, here's Perfect Dark, here's Banjo-Kazooie, here's Fable 4, here's new IP, here's new IP, here's new IP, here's Halo 6, here's our next iteration of Gears. These are the things that I want to see from them and hear from them. And if they're not coming in the next 18 months, that's okay. Just start talking about them and let me know that they are coming, because they've fixed everything else that was a problem within the Xbox ecosystem, except the exclusive games that actually matter. That's the only problem they still have right now. And once they get that fixed, which I am very confident they will, but once they get that fixed, now we can have a conversation about them competing with what PlayStation is doing. But, you know, we talked about this last episode, but PlayStation did a very smart thing early in this generation that bought them time, was they were able to stall with a lot of smart third-party marketing deals, indie titles, and a console that was $100 less. Those three things combined is why we where we are right now. And now all their internal studios are just pumping out hit after hit. Like even Detroit, I don't expect Detroit to be a smash hit, but Detroit's going to be compelling to a lot of people. You know, Days Gone is obviously a game they have that is in development hell right now. So who knows what's going to happen with that. But they got the other, that Ghost game that's coming from Sucker Punch that they showed the Paris Games Week. Looks very compelling. I want to see Microsoft start to do the same things. I want to see these compelling and unique things come from them. And that's why I say if Halo 6 needs 4 years, that tells me they're taking this serious. Mm-hmm. They're not just saying, all right, let's just pump out another Halo because it's 3 years and we need one out. They're saying, no, let's not make the mistakes that we made with Halo 5. Let's get it right this time. Let's tell a compelling story. Let's give them some challenging gameplay that's going to have them come back and want to repeat and play it again. God forbid if they do a battle royale mode, which we'll get into in just a second, but they're probably working on something like that too. Who knows? But, you know, this is a huge E3 for them, for Microsoft, for Xbox, is basically all I'm trying to say. They need to come with it this year. And I don't care if it's not coming this year, but they need to let us know what is coming in the next 2 to 3 years to basically make, look, I'm a hardware owner now, to make sure that my investment was worth it, right? That's all that matters. We just want fun games to play. Sure, all the third-party stuff will be there, but give me exclusive things on your system that I want to play as well. That's all I'm asking.
No, 100% agree. The concern, obviously, and you know, I don't want to keep harping on it, is that catalog. Because right now, all they have are the tried and trues. We don't have a new thing. Like, yeah, Sony still has their Uncharted and The Last of Us that they can resort or they can revert back to if they need to throw new content and stuff. Where are the new IPs? Where's the fresh new blood? Where's the fresh new content? You know, we've got God of War coming out. Well, you'll be playing it tomorrow or today by the time the show airs on podcasts. So they've got that mix of new content and they have that of and they have the old tried and true legends of Sony. I think it's Microsoft's turn. And they're aware of it. It's not like it's not like I'm coming down the mountain with tablets, you know, harping, the second coming of Xbox, but they're aware of it. And I've said this before on the show, this finding that diamond in the rough, that gem, or actually that chunk of coal that just needs polish and pressure to turn into a diamond. That's the hardest thing to find. And once they find it, we'll know, we'll see it. And maybe this is Microsoft's turn to focus on its third-party catalog relationships. Kind of, I guess, basically doing the copypasta from what Sony did, you know, because we've seen what they did. They did the little console exclusive thing or whatever, you know, or they had that announcement for Anthem and all these other titles that we're potentially seeing. Maybe it's not going to be going straight back over to Sony for that, you know, whether it be a timed exclusive or not. I think you said on the last show, maybe, you know, Cyberpunk 2077, maybe it gets the Microsoft flashback, you know, flash deck of boom, console exclusive or timed exclusive for content. Who knows? Maybe that's what they need to do to try to get everything back on their side so that they can start pumping out or at least gives them a buffer of time so that they can go out and find that jewel that provides them the next Cuphead on a much larger scale, that gives them, for lack of a better term, a much better Recore or a much better Sunset Overdrive, because those were games that could have, they just weren't good enough for whatever reasons to be that flash that they needed. They need to find
that. And another title I forgot to mention, the sequel to Ori and the Blind Forest is most likely coming this holiday. But again, it's like Cuphead. That's an indie title. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something that's pushing the AAA needle, but hey, it is something to have that I'm only playing on the Xbox or the PC. I'm not playing that on PlayStation or the Switch. So that would be good for them. But again, I know we kind of beat this horse to death. E3 is right around the corner. Like you said earlier, we've got our invites to the E3 showcase that Sunday at 1 p.m. So we'll be in attendance and we'll be in the crowd to see what they say. And either I'll be cheering or booing. I guess we'll see. I don't know.
We'll all know if you get that mystical text message from you know who.
Yeah, exactly. But moving on to allude to something I was talking about just a second ago. So the rumor came out this week that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 will not have a campaign mode. And instead, they're going to focus on their traditional multiplayer. They're going to have a quote unquote enhanced zombie mode with some co-op features in it. And they're going to introduce a battle royale mode. This is all rumored. We have no confirmation. There is going to be a Black Ops 4 reveal event on May 17th. And I'm sure we'll find out more information at that time. So at first, when I saw this news, I was a little bit outraged. Like, how dare they not have a campaign? What are they doing? This is crazy. Then I started thinking about it and go, you know what? I don't think I've played all the way through a Call of Duty campaign in probably 4 or 5 years, right? The last one that actually mattered to me was Modern Warfare 2, which ironically enough, that's also part of the rumor is they're doing a remake of the Modern Warfare 2 campaign only, no multiplayer, which I would guess means they're going to probably supplement it and add it in with the limited edition and collector's edition of Black Ops 4. Kind of makes sense. So I thought about this and my outrage lessened because I'm thinking, okay, focus on what you do best with the multiplayer. By the way, part of the rumor is single player was taking too long and they wouldn't have it ready by launch, which is why they shifted gears at some point in the development cycle. But okay, focus on the traditional multiplayer that everyone jumps and plays anyways. That's not going away. People like zombies, so flesh that out even more. Kind of tell a quasi-story through the zombie mode. Okay, that's fine. Now, let's add in the current hotness in the industry, the Battle Royale mode. This is where it's either going to be amazing or colossal failure, in my opinion. And it all starts off with this. It better be 100 people. Anything less, why are you even doing it? 100 is the standard now. It just is. You better have 100 because that's what PUBG and Fortnite's doing. Anything less, then you're just a poor copycat, in my opinion. It needs to be compelling enough that it's going to pull people away from Fortnite and or PUBG. I'm very skeptical of that. We'll see, because I'm pretty sure they'll show it off on the 17th. So we'll see when they do the reveal what it actually is. But I am overall okay with them not including a campaign. And if anything, that probably should be the way to go from now on, just being realistic, because Call of Duty is the monster that it is because of the multiplayer, yep, not because of the campaign. This is not a repeat of Titanfall where they lied and made you think there was a campaign and there really wasn't. They're coming straight up, no campaign, but everything you love about multiplayer and the esports side of it is there day one. I personally think that's fine. Curious your thoughts.
Obviously, being the Battle Royale fanboy, I'm okay with it as long as it brings something new to the table. One of the reasons why Fortnite is a success, aside from the fact that it's free, fun factor, it's different because it brings that building meta, which allows you to stand up a wall to prevent you from getting shot or, you know, one shot or one, you know, whatever from it from afar. Don't give me essentially a copy paste with just, you know, your Call of Duty stuff, because then that's going to be, I don't want to try and make a prediction by saying it's going to be a death knell for it, but it's not going to be accepted as well. If it's literally just, you're just going to shove 100 people into a specific game map that you've already preloaded and just run them loose. Mm-hmm. Give me something new. Battlefield is the latest one now. That's, you know, now that rumor's hot. From today, there was a couple of tweets that came out that said the folks at DICE are looking at it. They're looking at, you know, implementing a Battle Royale style game for their next iteration of Battlefield. We've said it several times. We're probably, what was the number, like 80 or something like that? 80 different iterations of PUBG. There's the new Rings of Elysium that was just dropped earlier this week by Tencent, which is a PUBG partner. And when you look at gameplay or play the game, it's scarily close to PUBG. It's almost a mix of, I would probably say, probably your combination. If you took a bastard baby of Fortnite and mixed it with PUBG, you would get Rings of Elysium. You can get it, but you have to play it via a client from Thailand. The servers are in Thailand, so if you're playing here in the States, you're going to suffer from 250 ping or higher. As a result, you have to run a batch file to change the language to English, so you can actually, you know, so that English readers can actually maneuver through the thing. The crazy part is, it plays as good, if not better, than PUBG itself. And that's the crazy part. It's almost as if PUBG was the test. They couldn't do it. You know, they weren't ready for the monster hit that it became. And so Tencent actually just made the better game for them.
Yeah.
Because they have the money and the resources to put behind them.
And let's not forget Cliffy B and his team.
Oh, yeah. Radical Heights.
The makers of the smash hit Lawbreakers are coming out with a battle royale.
You know what's crazy, though? Radical Heights has been infinitely more popular and infinitely more of a success than Lawbreakers has, in my personal opinion.
Obviously there's been rumblings that the Division 2 potentially could have a battle royale mode as well, which in what that game is, I can almost see it in a certain way, because like this, you know, the survival mode or whatever kind of
a survival is a mode take on that. Yeah, survival mode and Dark Zone, it's all basically,
yeah,
it's the precursor, exactly, of the battle royale.
Right, exactly. So I could almost see it making sense in that game, but I'm just gonna be real right now, this bubble's gonna go it's too many. It's too much. I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. This news just reinforces what I've been saying. There's too many of these damn battle royale modes. And look, and I've been playing PUBG on Xbox One X, actually. It's not that I don't like the mode. My son plays Fortnite every day. So it's not that I'm against battle royale modes. The thing is, and it's just like in sports, everything is a copycat. It's a copycat league, right? If you see something of a certain offense that a team in football is running, you start to see it being copycatted across the league. It happens. Same thing happens in video game industry, you know, where we start to see the copycats of certain things. And here we go again with Battle Royale. And my only fear with it is people are going to just get beaten over the head with Battle Royale, that it's not even going to be a thing in the next couple of years, to where people are just sick of playing it. PUBG goes away, Fortnite goes away, all these copycats go away, and then we're starting from scratch again. So I don't know. I just hope that whatever Black Ops 4 is doing, whatever Battlefield does, whatever the Division potentially does, and, you know, again, some of the other copycats, that they can all live together in harmony, and we're not losing our, what's the word I'm looking for? We're not spreading ourselves too thin is what I'm trying to say. And then just the sheer numbers of people that are actually in these game modes aren't spread across. What we have right now is, because the main populations are in Fortnite and PUBG, right? Instead of being spread between two games, potentially we could be looking at them spread out between 8 and 9 games. You know, so now our online community is completely spread out, and we just don't simply have the numbers in our battle royale game of choice to actually support it and have the numbers that we'd like to see to have those 100 people in every match. So I don't know, Pete, any thoughts on that? Anything you want to add to it?
Going back to, you know, the whole Call of Duty Battle Royale discussion, they really haven't been, you know, they've been notoriously poor with network performance, and it's going to be a sentiment that's echoed across social media. Will they be able to support 100 people? They struggle at 64.
Right. Yeah, and that's my point.
You know, we saw with Battlefield and Battlefront 64, they couldn't go any higher. Is it a technical thing? It's not like we know they don't have the software or the resources to, or the infrastructure to support it. We know from a technical perspective, they've got the resources. Can they get it to spool up 100 players and play well enough that it's not going to be a crapshoot?
Yeah, and that's the thing, because if all of a sudden we're starting to see long wait times for matchmaking because they're struggling to get to 100, this is going to turn people off. And one of the big drivers of this is the streaming community. that's what has made this Battle Royale mode so popular, is because you have all the top streamers out there in the community playing these games 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, all of a sudden, if we're spreading it all out, they're sitting there waiting on load, basically on matchmaking times, and now their audience is bored. Guess what? They're going to move on to something else.
Yep.
They're going to move on to whatever the next hotness is. And like I said, this whole phenomenon is going to go away. And the reason we're still in such the infancy of it, because a year ago, we were barely talking about PUBG. That was something that you were playing that you had just discovered. It was like this new oddity. We went to E3. It was still like that dirty little secret that, you know, only the cool kids knew about. You know, we went to the E3, that E3 party that they had, you know, Player Unknown and all that, which was great, but it was still the dirty little secret. And then remember Fortnite was just something they were playing up there in a meeting room. They weren't even doing the Battle Royale mode yet at that time, a year ago. And look where we are now. You know, Fortnite has exploded to become the most popular game in the world right now because of that mode. PUBG's right behind it. And now all these other publishers are trying to play catch up on it. And I just hope they don't dilute the quality of what the Battle Royale mode is, because they're rushing to market to get something out there. So I don't know. We'll see, because it looks like we're going to get beaten over the head with it at E3 this year. And I'm very cautious as to what the future holds for this mode, because it's just going to be too many.
We're going to stick with the, you know, because as the Battle Royale thing, you know, that the whole thing steamrolls, you know, new features, new content. And obviously now PUBG, they've had their, you know, they just finished their, actually, I want to say about an hour ago, they just finished their second playtest of their codename Savage map, which essentially cuts the map in half. You're now 4x4 map, 100 people, but things get run a lot faster. Like there was points in time last night when I was playing that by the time I landed, the blue zone was already starting to compress. And it's like, I just landed. How am I supposed to loot?
Right.
You know, they support that by spawning more weapons, spawning more medical support, or spawning more supplies, so that it forces the action to start immediately from the point that you drop, which is great. I like that. I actually prefer that you drop. And on top of that, they released a new war version, which puts, you know, teams of 10 going up against other teams of 10, where you drop, you're already got a helmet and armor and a gun and ammo, which is even better. Now they're announcing they're going to release Codename Savage with an underground cave system. You know, more places for people to hide and you know, loot stuff and get caught by the circle. So I'm glad that PUBG is going out there and doing, you know, trying to find these little niche moments to bring them out, to try to draw people back into it. My problem is the Xbox One X or the Xbox One console version is still getting left behind. They're doing all this fun iteration for the PC side. I'm not complaining. I'm 100% for that, because that's where I'm going to be. But the more that they do all of this, the harder it's going to be for the Xbox side to catch up to it, so that the console players can enjoy what I've been playing for the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. I'm sure it'll get there eventually.
It will come. It will come. Yeah, it's going to get there.
It'll get there eventually, but I hope that it's not going to functionally break or be too much for the system to handle, because it's just now finally starting to get close to that sweet performance spot for players on the console side, while the PC keeps getting the first bits. And again, I'm fine with that. But I'm sure that the Xbox console, you know, players are going to want to say, wait, when are we going to converge codes? When are we going to finally start getting content the same time as the PC players? Will they ever? I know that's been, you know, that was, right, they've wanted to do that, you know, talk is cheap. Actions mean louder than words. When are they going to finally give you, or give the console players, the opportunity to play what we're playing on PC?
But in that same breath, it is game preview on console. Mm-hmm. It is something that they're translating over. They have preached patience with that from day one, that it's not going to be one-to-one with what they're doing on PC right now. So to be honest with you, I would expect some kind of announcement at E3 again, you know, about the console version, about some updates and enhancements that they're going to do. But realistically, I would imagine they're going to probably lag behind the PC version for at least another year. I would imagine, you know, before, like, basically what you're talking about right now, they're probably not going to get until the end of this year, beginning of next year.
That's realistic.
Would be my guess. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to hear that, you know, coming this fall or coming this holiday season, 1.0, you know, and, you know, that'll probably elicit, you know, the usual cries of excitement from the press briefing.
Right.
I just hope it doesn't take too long, because I feel bad just playing PUBG, you know, and then seeing, you know, the people on, you know, when I do fire up my Xbox or I see it on the Xbox app on my computer, you know, this guy is playing, you know, PUBG, and I'm like, you're only playing half of it, guy.
Right. Hey, but to them, that's what they know, because they're not playing it on PC. But again, I applaud the fact that it's even on console, and they've, and they've done enough with the controller. Like I told you, when I first played on the controller, I was a little confused, but I've gotten kind of used to it now. So, and it's fine. It's slower. It's slower than being able to do it on mouse and keyboard and just change my gear and all that. But that's just a limitation of the controller. There's just no way around that.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Moving away from Battle Royale, because like I said, we'll see at E3. My God, I swear to God, that's all it's going to be at E3. So, you know, my favorite game in the world, Destiny 2, you know, I got to bring that up. So they've reintroduced 6v6 this week with Iron Banner, and I've been playing it, and I've been quite enjoying it. Along with the Go Fast update, I feel like the pace has been very good, and Bungie has been also this week kind of previewing some of the exotic weapon changes that'll be coming, or, you know, become with the sandbox update with the new Warmind expansion on May 8th. And they showed off like the Graviton Lance, they showed off Skyburner, and they showed off the Rat King today. And they all look great. They look like exotic weapons now, which is what they should have been from day one. Overall, I'm happy with the changes that are starting to happen with Destiny 2. This update, that sandbox change that will happen on May 8th, will be a good milestone for them. Right now, a lot of the community leaders within the Destiny community are up at the studio right now. They're going to do the Bungie Community Summit over the 19th and the 20th of April. They're going to get to see the Warmind DLC, do some capture some footage, and also be able to sit down with the developers and give some honest feedback on some of the things coming down the road, you know, with Destiny 2. My guess would be they're probably going to get a sneak peek at some of the fall expansion stuff that's potentially coming. Which will have weapon slot changes. They're going to do some weapon randomization, since they don't want to call it weapon rolls right now. So they'll be able to give their feedback on some of those things, which will be good. I mean, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Yeah, a lot of these things that they're doing is basically rolling it back to Destiny 1. I mean, let's just be honest here, but with a unique twist on it. A lot of these things should have been there day freaking one. It is what it is at this point. Either, you know, you still want to play the game, or you've moved on and you're not going to come back. I mean, I've obviously chosen to still play the game. I don't play it as much as I used to, obviously, but I'm kind of waiting on this May update to jump back in more. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, you're hearing me talk about all these things, since you're someone that you haven't played in a while. Is this something that would bring you back? Would it pique your curiosity to even want to come back and play?
To be honest, unfortunately, no. Like, I deleted Destiny off my PlayStation 4 just so I can install God of War. Granted, it's not something that I can't just go ahead and re-download and just, you know, and play again. But I don't have that same anxiousness to play. Like, I don't come home
right
and fire it up to go play it. I don't have that same desire to jump in like I do with my other games, like PUBG or Rainbow Six or you know, the games that I've been playing, you know, these days. It would literally have to revert back to Destiny 1 with Destiny 2 play stuff for it to even give me an inkling to want to return. Like, yeah, and I'm not going to lie. A year ago, I had a blast playing the beta with you and everybody else online when it came on. I was hype. I was with the golden ticket and everything to the hype train. It launched and I had fun for a couple of weeks playing the beta. And then it just, or playing the full release. And then then it just fizzled. So I don't know if I am the target demographic anymore. I know last week you were talking to Danny and Danny, you know, you said something to the effect of, yeah, that's the goal, is to try to pull people back that left. But I don't see Danny going back any more so than I see myself going back. You know, and if anything, neither of us are considered casuals. If anything, I might be the target for something like that because I have that long history with Destiny and playing it and, you know,
yeah,
putting way too many hours into it. And I don't see it. I don't see Destiny doing anything that would pull me away from PUBG at this point.
You know what the thing is with me? I miss my Destiny friends. That's kind of what keeps me hanging around and not just giving up on it completely. I miss the community that I became a part of over the past 4 years because of Destiny 2 or the original Destiny going into Destiny 2. You know, obviously I'm nowhere near the level of a More Console or a Bife or a True Vanguard or any of those people that are super big in the community, but you know, I've gotten to the point where I've gotten to know a lot of those people, you know, on a personal basis, and just, you know, the clan that I'm a part of, Guardian One, just all the great people that are in there, and even the people that are no longer in the clan and we're still friends, you know, as an example, and you know, we're Twitter buddies and all that. I miss those days of getting up, and of course I'm trying to record. Everybody wants to make noise. As you can hear, this printer's going off right now. It's like, why can't you wait till I'm not recording? But back to what I'm saying is I miss getting up at 5 a.m. and doing the raids and stuff like that, or all nighters doing Iron Banner, you know, with all my friends. Just I want those days to come back. Mm-hmm. I desperately want that to come back. I want that feeling to come back because, you know, I'd said for so long that, you know, the Destiny community was one of the least toxic and welcoming communities you could find in gaming. Not so much. Because people are mad. They're mad at the game. They're mad at Bungie. They're mad at them taking everything I just described away from them. And it's completely understandable. Mm-hmm. I truly hope the summit that they're doing right now, they get some valuable feedback from it. They apply it to the game. They make that fall expansion the absolute best that they can be. I mean, the Taken King was a radical change for Destiny 1 and made it just the game that everyone loved. I hope this is a similar thing for Destiny 2 and even more, whatever it is. I hope there's just a radical shift to everything that they're doing currently with Destiny 2. And it just makes it fun again. You know, even if the population is half of what it used to be, you know, I just hope they make it fun again. And just like the Division with that 1.8 update, actually give you a reason to want to give the game a second chance and come back and play. But I'll say this too. This is it. Whatever they do with this fall expansion is it. There are no more oopsies. We made a mistake. Please forgive us. Because I think at that point, people are just done. They're done. They're gone. They're just not going to come back anymore. You know, they're going to go, Bungie, we've given you second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chances to get it right. And I'm just going to go play Black Ops 4 Battle Royale featuring Ratchet and Clank or something. I don't know. They're going to go do something else. You know what I mean? So I'm done with Destiny talk. I promise I won't talk about it anymore, but I will just say this one last thing. Looking forward to the stream next week where they show off Warmind, and I'll be there on May 8th playing it, you know, with all my clan buddies. So that's it.
All right.
So I'm looking at the time. I know we're about 45 minutes in. Do we want to get into voicemail or do we want to hold it?
I just saw something that popped across my feed that I know you and I have briefly talked about this, obviously with P PC gaming and hardware, especially in regards to GPUs, the market is very, very hard to break into because they get, inventory disappears the moment it appears on the internet. NVIDIA just released a whole bunch of stock onto their NVIDIA store, and it literally disappeared within hours. You could, if you were able to jump in and get it, you could buy a 1080 for $550. You know, if you could get a 1060 for $300, but all of that's gone. The only one that's left is the Titan XP, but nobody wants to pay $1,200 for a video card. Then I saw the pricing for an 1180, $700. Obviously, that's
You mean a 1080?
No, 1180 GTX 1180 using the Turing architecture. It's got the same memory speed, 16 gigabits per second, 256-bit memory interface, 13 teraflops, and there's performance increases across the board and keeping, power utilization down to about 170 to 200 watts. So
I'm looking right now.
Man, let me tell you.
But see, here's the thing, though. As I'm reading it, they're talking about the specs on it. I'm on WCCFTech.com.
That's exactly the one that I was
looking at. And they're saying basically these specs just slightly put it ahead of the existing Titan XP and the 1080 Ti, a.k.a. I'm not buying it. Right? You know, this isn't a performance boost that would make me want to go. And I've already said, the next time I upgrade, I'm just upgrading everything. I'm just going to build a new PC, period. And I truly think with my 1080 Ti, I see no need until 2020 at the earliest to even consider it. I don't see, look, I'm sure there will be an 1180 Ti that'll have a nice bump. But at this point, I can play games in 4K, ultra, 60 frames. Far Cry 5 as the latest example. That is possible on my rig right now.
Right.
I don't see a need. Like, let's say this 1180 comes out and now I can play it at 70 frames per second. And that ain't worth me dropping more coin and trying to do that. Even that TI comes out. Okay. I have a nice buffer on frames. Maybe it gets me up to 85, 90 frames, but is it still worth it? You know, that's where you have to start asking that question. Not to mention 4K G-Sync monitors are on the way. They're starting to come out. I think I'd rather invest in that than another GPU at this point, since I have a 1080 Ti.
Monitors are probably going to be about the same price as that GPU anyways. You're probably looking at $850, $900 per monitor. So, I don't know.
I'm glad that these cards are coming. Hopefully this will help, like you're saying, help lessen this whole thing with the mining stuff and just these outrageous prices on cards right now. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like if I was building a new PC right now, it's not even worth it.
Yeah. Like I know, shout out to Lady Luck. She just finished building her PC. She said it's like night and day difference. And the only thing that's making it that made it possible was she didn't have to worry about a GPU. She already had the 980 that she got from you, so she was already one step ahead of the game. And all she had to do was just upgrade the rest of her hardware around the GPU, and she says it's been night and day. So I'm glad, I was playing with her last night on PUBG. So I'm glad to see that, that experience was a lot more palatable than it could have been. Cause God forbid, I still see some of the prices. It's still filthy trying to get a 1080 or 1080 Ti, or you're still looking at paying over $1,200, $1,400 for it. I'm like, it's ridiculous. It's crazy that it's gotten to this. And I know I don't want to get too much into PC talk. I know some of our viewers and listeners kind of enjoy it, but but all you want to do is play God of War 4. No, I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to play it till the morning. Not going to play it until I do it live on stream.
All right.
I'm actually going to go play Iron Banner. That's what
I'm all right. So, let's see. What do we want to do? I'm going to play one voicemail. All right. And they're all under 2 minutes. So it's not like, it's like worst case scenario, we might play a second one. But all right, here goes the first one. Here we go.
Hello, this is Chris, a.k.a. Black Web Spider on Xbox. I had a question about the Nintendo Switch. Just got it, and I put it in the dock And I love playing in handheld mode. It's such a great console. But I'm playing Sonic Mania and NBA Playgrounds. But I had a question about the when you're having it docked and it's charging. Do you think that having it docked for too long could overcharge the battery and possibly cause issues with the battery over time? Just wanted to know if this is if y'all had thought any thoughts on this or if this was even an issue. Can't find anything on it. And do you think Nintendo made the battery to withstand long charge times? Just wanted to know. I had a little, I just wasn't sure about that. And I wanted to talk about Banjo-Kazooie real quick. In Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, there was a message in that game saying that they were going to bring out another Banjo-Kazooie game in 2018. Do you think Microsoft is going to keep their word on this? Even though with a lot of over the years with E3, they have make announcements and crickets on everything. Just wondering if you think they're going to actually bring it out in 2018 or possibly it could if it even come out between now and the next couple of years or next year. All right. Thanks for all the great content. I love listening to y'all.
They're freaking better. How about that? How about that? How about they freaking better come out with Banjo-Kazooie in 2018? God knows they can freaking use it. That'd be a nice little something in the holiday. Who knows? I know Ken Lobb talked. God, this was 2 or 3 years ago. I think this was kind of when they were talking about hinting at some that Rare collection that came out. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of rumblings of Banjo-Kazooie at that time, along with Battletoads. I have to say, I would love to see it. You want to see me jumping up, hollering, and screaming. If they were to do a Banjo-Kazooie a la Mario Odyssey, oh my God, just prints money. That just freaking prints money. I would love to see them do something like that. Do I think it's 2018? Unfortunately, no, but God, I would love to see it. Going to his first question with the Switch, I leave mine docked all the time. I've not, like you said, I've not seen anyone talk about that being an issue, nor have I experienced it myself. It's been fine.
Yeah. Same for me. Thanks again, Chris, for calling in. I've had no issues. And if I'm not mistaken, it's not a NiCad or one of those older type battery, you know, older generation type batteries. It's lithium ion. It shouldn't have any issues as long as you don't have any damage to your charging points. I also believe the batteries are a little bit smarter these days than they were back in the day where we didn't have to worry. So we don't have to worry about them as much. Not to say that lithium ion don't have finite charging cycles. They do, but you know, it's not as bad as it was back in the day when we had to, you know, when batteries wouldn't last for a year or two, you know, now. So be cool. I think we'll be fine as long as, you know, and also, hey, if you go back a couple episodes back, Danny finally got this charger for his Nintendo Switch. I actually checked it out last week when we went to the League of Legends NALCS in Miami Beach, and his charger was pretty dope. It worked. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did show that off. But yeah, like I said, so far no issues on my end. I haven't heard anything out there in the wild of people having issues either. So I think you'll be fine on that.
Yeah.
Another voicemail or is that it?
Well, do we have any fan mail to read or?
We do actually. Let's do fan mail through the magic of editing. I will bring it up here. Let me bring one up here. Okay. Here's one from Rabbit C. And he's saying, every day I grow, let me start this over. He's saying, every day I grow more fond of Phil Spencer. His recent praise of the revamped God of War proves that he's a true advocate for quality games. It also says to me that Phil Spencer recognizes the importance of first-party development in creating masterpieces to promote the platform. As an Xbox 360 lover, I see high hopes for Xbox gaming. I'm sure there are plans in motion to make this happen. All good things for gamers who don't pick sides, but promote the spirit of great game experiences. Well done, Phil. Love to know your thoughts. So appreciate that, Rabbit C. He's a member on our Discord channel. So if you're not a part of Discord for Gamertag Radio, discord.gg/GTR, I believe is the URL that you can find us. But I mean, he's right. And that's the thing. And it's kind of a two-way street with Phil. I feel like since Phil has taken over, he's obviously steered the Xbox platform in the right direction. And we've seen it with all the great things that they've done, except, like we said earlier, the exclusive content. That's the last piece they got to fix. But I also put a finger of shame towards him because he did have a seat at that table in 2013. So what we got in 2013, he had a part to play in that as well, which he has admitted as well. So he understands his role that he played in what Xbox One was back in 2013. But at the same time, I do believe he also deserves all the praise that he's getting today, because I think, like I said, it won't be a snap of the finger overnight, but I feel like Xbox in the next couple of years will be in a very good place. And I think they will have a strong library to be able to go with all the great services that they're providing now. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. It sucks that you have to go through the bad before you get to the good. And it's funny because a couple of years ago when we went to the Xbox showcase, I got a chance to sit down and talk with him off the record. And it was like, all right, so what's your favorite game? What are you playing now? And he's like, I think it was Inside, I think is what it's called, or something like that. I don't know. It was a black and white
inside or below. Yeah. Inside.
I think it was Inside. And he was like, man, that game is just so good. And I was just like, you know what? That's not what I expected to hear. I expected to hear like some hot new Microsoft title. And he was like, no, it's this indie game that's phenomenal. And I was just like, yeah, all right. You got me on that one. You're a gamer for real. That's really good to hear. And, you know, he was talking about how, you know, this one particular level that he was playing just really, really got, you know, just really annoyed him because he couldn't get it. He couldn't beat it. So I'm glad to see that he was able to, to answer that honestly with a game that I wasn't expecting. I was honestly expecting, you know, something like Ori or something like that. But, you know, he came out and hit me with Inside. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
You got me.
So Pete, anything else we want to do before we get out of here? Any more voicemails or emails, or we want to save the rest?
I do have one more voicemail. So I'm going to go ahead and play this voicemail from Jacob. Here we go.
Hey, what's going on, Gamer Tarek Radio? This is Jacob giving you guys a call from Charlotte. Quick question for you guys. What would be you guys' dream peripheral? Now, this could be like as generic or specific as you want. So if you want like a peripheral that would let you dribble a basketball in 2K and shoot it like a basketball peripheral, or like anything as generic as possible that'll work across all like types of games or anything like that. Because we see like Nintendo's trying to kill the peripheral market with their Switch. I don't know if you guys see the story about the little side screen patent that they have and the label, you know, they're doing everything with that. But what would you guys like to see as your dream peripheral, like the end-all be-all design and actual how it would work, be damned, just what you would like to do with it? What would you guys like to see out here? Once again, love the show. Keep up the great work.
All right. Your dream or perfect peripheral? Honestly, I'm just going to get wild on this one because, you know, it's a dream sequence, right? They should just play like the shimmery music around me. Give me a quantum PC that manipulates my core and GPU to fit the game I'm playing on Ultra. I want the ultimate performing gaming experience that dynamically changes as I play it. Paris is silence.
Because are you waiting on me? I don't have one. I already have one. It's called a controller. I'm good. No more peripherals for me. I don't need a fishing pole or a plastic guitar or plastic microphone or drumsticks. Or none of that stuff. Just give me a controller and I play the games, or give me a mouse and keyboard on the PC. I'm good. I'm old that way. I'm 44. I can't think that hard. I don't know. Sorry, I'm being an a-hole about your question. But yeah, I personally, all jokes aside, waka waka. But yeah, I don't like peripherals. Just let me play the game. I don't like the extra stuff because history has taught that most of those things end up collecting dust somewhere. and they don't get used, or they're only specialized for one specific game. Like I would say probably the biggest and most expensive example of this would be the controller for Steel Battalion. If you remember that from the original Xbox, I think it was like $200, mm-hmm. something crazy like that. You know, and you could only play with that game and nothing else.
Useless so, beyond that game.
Yeah. Or then, and obviously all the Rock Band stuff, Guitar Hero stuff. I mean, you know, how many plastic guitars or DJ Hero drum kit sets did you have laying around? I don't know. I just think it becomes too much. And obviously the dumbest peripheral ever. And I said it at the time and I was proven right. I wish Danny was here as I said this, was the freaking Kinect. I said it at the time and I was right. I was right. I go, this is a waste of money.
I disagree. I really liked the Kinect. I liked being able to sit on my couch and not have to use the remote for features like that, like Xbox on.
You didn't need a camera for that though. You just need a microphone.
Actually, I don't mind it because you can sit there and you can redeem codes for games without having to type in the number without no chat pad.
I can go to my PC, Xbox.com, copy paste the code, done.
You're just being difficult right now, goddammit.
No, look, and I guess we wrap up on this. On the real, I mean, just the Kinect was a neat concept, but I never thought in reality it was ever going to be anything other than a half-baked idea, which ultimately it was. I know Cicero Holmes that spawned on me is probably screaming at his freaking phone right now as I'm saying all this because he loves him some Kinect and saying Cortana on or whatever you say. Now I don't even know what you say anymore. But yeah, I didn't think it was going to work on the original 360. And it, matter of fact, I think there is a video of this. Pretty sure there's a video of this. Danny and I were at the Xbox, like, the after E3 showcase thing. And this is when, God, what was his name? The dude that worked at Xbox that always wore the glasses. Do you know what I'm talking about? Cuba? Yeah, him. He was showing off the Star Wars thing. Mm-hmm. And I was super skeptical. And he was trying to convince me to go in to use it. And me and him are doing it, the Star Wars game. And the reaction time was so delayed from when I would make a movement to what I actually had on the screen. I looked at him. He looked at me and he was like, there's nothing I can say. And I was like, I know, because this thing don't work the way that it should. And I walked away from that moment on going, this Kinect thing is going to be a freaking failure. And I was right. And yes, I'm being an angry old man when I say this because I was right. And no one wanted to listen to me and everybody wanted to argue with me, but I was right. Where's Kinect now? Huh? Where is it? That's right, no crickets, because it's gone.
Kudo Sonoda was his name, not
Kudo. There you go. That's him. That was him. Yep. That's it. That's all I got. Unless you want me to continue to bash the Kinect. That's all I have to say.
No, I think we've beaten that horse.
Take the jokes out of it for a second. It was very useful for the voice features because, yeah, when I had it in my living room, Xbox on, the TV thing, all that, Xbox off, pause, play, all that stuff worked great. Really did, you know? But, I mean, for gaming, no, non-starter. That thing was just a gimmick when it came to gaming.
I dug it.
I'm sure you did. All right, so that's all I got. Anything else, Pete?
No, that's it.
Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good to go.
All right, well, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. We are at twitch.tv/gamertagradio. We record every Sunday at 6:30 a.m. Pacific, 9:38 a.m. Eastern, and we record every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. You can watch the show live, and then we have an after show where I curse a lot and we do other things. So it's great. But again, thank you for everybody hanging out. Thank you for everybody listening. Danny, please remind people once again where they can leave us feedback.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Pete, any last thing before we get out of here?
Nope, that's it, man. Just can't wait for Kratos to get fired up.
Yep, I can't wait to play some God of War. I'm really looking forward to that. But until then, this has been episode 754 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete.
That's Pete.
Spoiler Pete. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.